brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit of fear. Would you say those three words with me? Spirit of fear. You know, there's a natural emotion of fear, and then there is a spirit of fear. The emotion of fear is natural and given to us by God to recognize and respond to danger and harm that is around us, in front of us, or trying to attack us. Fear that comes from the enemy, and I want you to listen with your heart. Fear that comes from the enemy is a spirit. What do I mean by that? It is a personality, a malevolent person without a body. So we're not just dealing with a thing, we're actually dealing with something that is living, most oftentimes inside of us. Where? In our soul, and controls our body in certain areas. The spirit of fear has the ability to make the unreal seem real through the use of your imagination. Now, as we have all studied in the past, we all know that we have an imagination. And too often times, because we've not learned to use it the right way and control it, the enemy gets a hold of our imagination, and whatever is in our imagination is manifested in real time, and that's where the spirit of fear operates from. The spirit of fear also has the ability to materialize our fearfulness. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job made a remarkable statement. Or maybe I should say a fearful statement. He said, "The very thing I feared has come upon me." That's the spirit of fear working. And he never gives up and never stops until he is either cast out or put under control. So I want you to understand how serious the spirit of fear is. It only takes time when the spirit of fear continually works to bring to reality what we allow him to do in our minds. You know, it is my personal opinion, you can reject this or accept this, cast this out or take it as something true. But my personal opinion is that most people in this world, and when I use the word most, I almost want to say everybody, but there might be somebody self-righteous that might argue. So I say for most people in the world, I believe troubles with the spirit of fear might be subtle or to a really high, great degree, but I believe almost every person in the world troubles with the spirit of fear. And the good news is that we don't have to. There is a solution to it. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. People learn to live. The sad thing is that people learn to live their entire life with the spirit of fear. Especially when they're ignorant to the many physical and mental manifestations, instead of simply getting rid of it. When this happens, there will never be true freedom to live the way God created the individual to be. The Bible says it is for freedom that the Lord has set us free, and God wants us to be free indeed. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, concerning fear being a spirit and not just an emotion, this is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. It says, "For God will never give you," I want you to cue in and look at the words. It didn't say God will never give you fear. It says God will never give you the spirit of fear. You see, God gave us the emotion of fear. And it's a healthy thing because, like I've mentioned, it helps us to recognize and to respond to danger. However, Scripture makes it clear that God has never and will never give us the spirit of fear. Instead, He gives us the Holy Spirit, which in turn gives us mighty power, love, and self-control. And that's important to recognize. Dealing with the spirit of fear, you're dealing with a person. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Notice the spirit of fear is directly linked to the spirit of bondage. You ask a slave if they like slavery, if they like their wills taken from them. No, everybody wants to be free to choose. The Bible says the spirit of fear is linked with the spirit of bondage. And listen to what it continues to say. But you, everybody say me. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So instead, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, instead of receiving the spirit of bondage, of fear, God instead has given us the spirit of adoption into the family of God. Have you ever read anywhere in the Bible where our Heavenly Father fears? Have you ever read anywhere in the Bible where the Lord Jesus fears? Have you ever read anywhere in the Bible where the Holy Spirit fears? The Bible says we have been adopted into a family where fear does not exist. Therefore, to live with fear, whether subtle or major, is not a God thing. It's the enemy, and we need to be freed from it. 1 John 4:18 says, because fear involves torment. Torment is a bad thing. If anyone in here has ever been tormented in any way, you know that it's not something nice or ever that you want to live with. The Bible says fear involves torment. And we don't need that in our lives. The main goal of the spirit of fear is to let you forget. Everybody shout, forget. Have you ever forgotten any kind of thing in your life? Yeah, we all do forget. Well, the spirit of fear, the main goal is to let us forget that God is with us. To let us forget that God is in control. And to let us forget that God is able. Now, these words are nicely spoken, truthfully spoken, but the truth is, as Christians, certain circumstances and situations in our lives brings us to the place where we truly forget that God is with us, that God is in control, and that God is able. I know that it's easy for us to deny it or pretend that that's not true, but the truth is truth. And when I start to take the practical side of fear in a short moment, you'll understand that certain things, certain manifestations of fear in our lives really at that moment makes us forget that God is with us, God is in control, and God is able. Let me give you two examples in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, the Bible tells us that Peter actually walked on water. Do you remember reading that? Yeah, he walked on water because he asked Jesus if he could, and Jesus said yes. And so, without fear, he stepped out of a boat on water. And the Bible tells us that when he stepped out on water, he started to walk on water. But all of a sudden, he looked at his circumstance, he looked at the surrounding situation, and fear stepped in and he sunk. So if Peter, who was with Jesus, in front of Jesus, troubled with the spirit of fear, don't tell me that we sitting here today, and those of us looking from all over the world, listening from all over the world, don't tell me that you at certain times in your life don't trouble with the spirit of fear. Second example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 40, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him in a boat, and he was going to come later. He didn't tell them how. And so the disciples left in the boat, and while they were in the boat, the waters became boisterous, and they were troubled. Jesus came to them walking on water. They were fearful. And then another time, Jesus was with them in the boat. Now get this. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Can I have your attention? Jesus is in the boat. Whose boat? Your boat. Well, watch this. Jesus one day was with the disciples in a boat. He was tired. The wind started to blow. The boat seemed to be capsizing, and Jesus was fast asleep. And the disciples shaked him, woke him up, and said, "Jesus, don't you care that we are dying?" And Jesus simply responded by saying, "Oh, you of little faith." How can the disciples fare when Jesus is there with them? Well, forget the disciples. How can you and I fare when Jesus is with us, inside of us? How can we fare? That's how real the spirit of fear is. The spirit of fear in action can range from very subtle to very paralyzing in a person's life. Let me give you just a couple examples. I could have given you a million and one example, but because we might dare to say I don't trouble with the spirit of fear, I'm bringing two very simple examples here of how subtle the spirit of fear may be, can be, and you do not realize it's the spirit of fear. Number one, when it concerns tithing. Now, we all know what tithing is, right? True or false? All of you watching around the world, listening around the world, you know what tithing is. That's like one of the most basic principles to a Christian. Yet, most Christians don't tithe. Why? It's not because they don't work. It's not because they don't make enough. Behind the reason of not being able or not wanting to tithe is the spirit of fear. Fear cancels out faith. You wonder how the widow in the New Testament was able to give her last penny without fear. And yet today most Christians would say, "I don't fear, thank God. I'm victorious over fear. I'm blessed beyond a curse." But yet one simple thing like tithe has given so many Christians trouble after trouble for the longest days they have been Christians. Why? It's not because they don't make money. It's not because they can't. It's because of the spirit of fear. If there was no fear, you would be able to have faith and trust God. And you would see the results of it. Fear cancels out the faith of tithing. Secondly, Christians all over the world have problem consecrating themselves to the Lord in fellowship on Sunday. A million and one reasons. Pastor, if I don't work, my boss will fire me. Pastor, if I don't push to work on Sunday, I really won't even be able to tithe. I won't have enough money. I won't be able to pay my bills. But in reality, behind all the excuses is the spirit of pride. We don't realize that. We don't point the finger on the spirit of pride. But that's the culprit. He's hidden. And he makes us come up with all kinds of excuses, thinking this and thinking that. So these are subtle forms of the spirit of pride. And so subtle that we can't detect it or not easily detect it. We tend to cast it off and blame it on something else. But that's how subtle the spirit of pride can really, fear can actually be. Now, the spirit of fear can actually climb to where it involves serious torment. Paralyzing fear. Now, I want to ask you, tonight when I'm finished with this, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and I'm going to pray with you. If all you have is subtle fear, you still don't want to live with it because you don't have to. It's like if you have a bill for $100, but you don't really have to pay it, would you pay it? No. So even if fear, the spirit of fear is subtle in your life, why in the world would you choose to live with it till you die? Do you know what real and true freedom is? And if you don't, you can find out how true and real it is. So paralyzing fear, fear paralysis. I'm going to pray if there's any individual in here that will be honest with yourself and say, Pastor, fear really has a grip on my life. And I need to get that thing out of my life. So paralyzing fear would involve anxiety attacks. Now, I know people personally that troubles with anxiety attack. Now, you go to a doctor, they will give you a medical term for that. But that's not a medical term. That's a spirit. Anxiety attacks makes you trouble breathing. If you have never had that before, you won't understand. But I know people that have had anxiety attacks, which is from the spirit of fear, and they feel like they can't breathe. They feel like they have heart pain. They feel like they're dying. And when they check into the hospital and the doctor runs a medical check, they say to them, nothing is wrong with you. Yet they feel like they're dying. They feel like they're catching a heart attack. They feel like they can't breathe. That's paralyzing fear. And it's not with you every day. But it shows its ugly head every now and again. We talk about paralyzing fear, fear paralysis. It involves depression. Depression affects your feeling, your thinking, and behavior, and ultimately, left long enough, causes the person to consider or even commit suicide. That's the spirit of fear. And you have to recognize it for what it is. Fear paralysis, completely frozen and unable to move. And sometimes this could be over something that somebody else would say, You afraid for that? In other words, why are you acting that way? Man, that's nothing. Look how small that little thing is. But yet for that person that is frozen, can't move, that thing is huge. That's fear paralysis. You can't even move. And maybe that little thing is looking at you and saying to you, you're a giant. Why are you afraid of me? Let's see. The spirit of fear does these things. And then you have phobias. Not foaming. Phobias. Which is extreme, irrational, unreal fear of something. Brothers and sisters, when we're saved by the blood of Jesus, our spirit is completely new. But our soul needs to be freed. Our body needs to be freed. And it's no shame to be able to say, I have trouble from the spirit of fear. Because if you are ashamed, you're going to live with it for the rest of your life. Jesus has already put that thing to death, has already defeated it. We need to understand that the spirit of fear is a strong man demon. Now, you have been taught months ago what strong men demons are. A strong man demon is not a little thing. It's not just a little thing to play with. A strong man demon is deep rooted, hidden within a person's soul. It always carries out its work with many companion demons. And we're going to see that in its manifestations in a little bit. So whether it's the spirit of fear or the spirit of pride, these are strong men demons, and they never work alone. They are the power behind all the other demons, but they actually attract and call and solicit help so that they can work in a very broad area in the life of a person. It's a ringleader. Have you ever heard that term before? Has anybody ever called you a ringleader? I've been called a ringleader both before Christ and after Christ. I've not been proud of being called a ringleader before I met Christ, but I am awesomely proud of being called a ringleader now that I serve Christ. A ringleader is a ruler, a commander of innumerable dependent destructive demons within a person. So when we talk about the spirit of fear, we're talking about a strong man. Now let's do some identifying. First, physical manifestation of the spirit of fear. Note, the physical manifestations usually occur when a person is under stress or pressure. Other than that, you don't necessarily see the manifestations or feel the manifestations. It is when you're under stress or under pressure that these physical manifestations take place. Number one, difficulty swallowing. All of a sudden your throat is dry and it's like you can't swallow. That's a physical manifestation of fear. Secondly, dizziness. If you've ever come to the altar to be prayed for and you feel dizzy, whether before or after, that can be the spirit of fear. It manifests in dizziness. Dry mouth. Have you ever felt like you need water, but you just drank water? That can be a manifestation of the spirit of fear. Fast heartbeat. I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. There has been too many times to count when I'm laying hands on people at the altar and I put my hand on the chest. And you feel that heart. That's the spirit of fear. I'm not mocking anyone. I'm just trying to show you that when this happens, it's the spirit of fear. Now you can't tell me you've never had these things happen in your life. If you say these things have never happened in your life, you are dead. Fatigue. It's not only COVID-19 that causes fatigue. The spirit of fear causes fatigue. All of a sudden you become weak. For some people, they feel like they want to faint. That's the spirit of fear because of circumstances and situation. Then you have headaches. Have you ever come to the altar to be prayed for and all of a sudden, wow, I have a popping headache? I know you've never felt that one before. That's the spirit of fear. It causes instant headache. You didn't have it all day and all of a sudden at the drop of a hat, there's a popping headache. That's the spirit of fear. Inability to concentrate. Especially when you're in a certain circumstance and situation that is overwhelming, or may I use the term fearful? All of a sudden you can't concentrate, you can't think. That's the spirit of fear. Inability to make right decisions. Inability to make right decisions. Normally, you would easily be able to make the right decision. But in this given situation, in this given circumstance, it's difficult to make right decision. Why? Because of the spirit of fear. Irritability. Can't tell you the amount of times I've been in church preaching. And the message is so sweet. What do I mean by sweet? The robber so hit the road that the person is always just moving and changing positions in their chair. And that's when I tell you to put on the seatbelt, and then after that I tell you when to take it off. That's the spirit of fear. Because what I'm talking about makes you irritable. Certain situations and circumstances out there, wherever you face them, maybe even at home, makes you irritable. That can be and most likely is the spirit of fear. Muscle aches, muscle tension, spirit of fear. Has anybody in here ever had muscle ache and muscle tension? I'm not talking about after playing football. Yeah, we all do. We just don't realize. You see, what the spirit of fear does, actually all spirits do this. Spirits are like gloves on your hand. You put on a glove on your hand, it takes the same shape, the same form, can actually come across as a part of you. But it's not you. You can actually peel it off. And that's what spirits do. Spirits so intertwine themselves with you, like the spirit of fear, that you don't even recognize that it's them in the given situation. You just think it's you. And you have to live with it. Nausea. Twirling in the stomach. When we conduct deliverance, it has been numerous times I have felt when I lay hands on the stomach of a person, something moving. Now, if you have ever sit on one of those massage chairs where you feel the ball, it's doing its little work and you're, okay. So that's more or less the way it feels inside. When there is extreme fear, you can actually feel the spirit of fear twirling on the inside of you. I have felt that before in me. So this is not theology. I'm telling you what's real. And if you have ever been delivered and you reflect back, you can almost remember that when deliverance was being conducted on you, there was a twirling in your stomach. Nervousness. Have you ever been nervous? Some people become so nervous their hands drip. Yeah. Would you guys smile for a little bit? Thank you. Makes me feel, you make me feel like I'm a murderer, you know. Nausea, nervousness. Nervousness is one of the most common ones that the spirit of fear does. Have you ever gone to apply for a loan and you've never met the loan officer before and you don't know if you're going to get the loan, and all of a sudden it's your turn and you're sitting in front of the loan officer and you are nervous as hell? I can't use heaven because it doesn't come from heaven. Have you ever applied for a job before? And there are maybe 6 or 8 other people in line for the job. Have you ever gone for a visa before? And then it's your turn for a visa and you can barely get up out of the chair. And when the visa, what do you call the person? Interviewer, who? Counselor, the visa counselor starts to talk to you. Your mouth is dry. You can't swallow. And you're praying that you can bring the word out of your mouth. Yeah. Is the robber now hitting the road? I almost want to think so. Rapid breathing. You always breathe normally, but all of a sudden you're breathing rapid. And you're not pregnant. But there's rapid breathing. Shortness of breath. You have not even walked 100 feet, so you can't blame it on that. But all of a sudden, you're short of breath. All these things are physical manifestation of the spirit of fear. Now, you can choose to live with that. Millions and billions of people have lived and died with the spirit of fear. They just learn how to live with it till the day they die. But as Christians, we don't have to. Then you have sweating. Sweating also is the spirit of fear. And I mean sweating when there's no reason to sweat. And actually in a cool air-conditioned building, but you're sweating. That's the spirit of fear. Trembling and twitching. And you do not have Alzheimer's, but you're trembling. Spirit of fear. Bed wetting. That's the spirit of fear. Now you'd never think that that's the spirit of fear, but it is the spirit of fear. Then you have motion sickness, which motion sickness can go from very severe to very mild. And I myself, in the very beginning, many years ago, I troubled severely with motion sickness. But today it's very subtle. And even so, I'm not going to let that thing live long in my life. Because we don't have to. But what I'm telling you is, like, take for instance something like motion sickness. Medical science has already formulated medicine for motion sickness. And so you can live with that, you can cope with that, or you can get it out. Then you have fingernail biting. Why do so many people go and put on false nails? Well, I shouldn't use the word false. Pretty nails. It's not that the nails can't really grow, it's that they bite them. And the false one, the pretty ones, you can't bite those because they don't seem to crack or break. They just come off. Then you got to go stick them again. But fingernail biting. Excessive fingernail biting. Now I bite my nails because I'm not going to a salon to manicure. I have 105 teeth and I managed to shape my nails like a man. But I'm talking about you're just sitting, you're watching a movie, you're whatever you're doing, and you're biting your nails. That's the spirit of fear. And you may never think so, but that's why I'm here to tell you that. That's the spirit of fear. Sicknesses. Now, sickness and disease are two different things. All right? Sicknesses come for a while and then it goes. Disease stays on your body and is incurable. Sicknesses can be because of the spirit of fear. All the above physical manifestations of fear are smaller demons working with the spirit of fear. Now look at that list again I just gave you. Let me read them quickly off to you again. Because you would think, as a matter of fact, I think you thought that when I was mentioning all of these physical manifestations, they were just things. But do you know that all of them are small spirits? Difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headache, inability to concentrate, inability to make right decisions, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, twirling in the stomach, nervousness, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling and twitching, bedwetting, motion sickness, fingernail biting, sickness. All of these are spirits. They are not strong men spirits. They work along with the strong man spirit of fear to bring forth these manifestations. Let's do some identifying of mental spiritual manifestations of the spirit of fear, as if the physical manifestations weren't bad enough. You do have mental and spiritual manifestations from the spirit of fear. And again, these are all spirits, but not strong man spirits. They work along with the strong man spirit of fear. Torment, night terror, nightmares, fear of the dark, fear of being alone, insecurity, difficulty believing God is able in certain situations, a general lack of faith, doubt, and questioning God. All these are spirits that manifest in the mind, mental manifestation and spiritual manifestation. Resisting deliverance is also from the spirit of fear. Fear of losing your salvation. Not many people trouble with this, but there are some people that are so fearful that they will lose their salvation. Spirit of fear. All the above mental symptoms of fear are smaller demons working with the spirit of fear. Now, how does the spirit of fear enter a person's soul? There are more ways, but three major ways. Number one, through trauma. Again, my personal belief is that almost everybody in this world has gone through traumas. Doesn't have to be a car accident, a near-death experience. Traumas can be very personalized. Nonetheless, for you, the individual, it is a trauma. And a trauma is when your emotion has been stretched to the level where you had no control over it. Trauma is an open door for the spirit of fear to enter. Curses at birth. All you need to do is to be born. If you weren't fabricated in a factory, you were born. And if you were born, then it's quite likely that at birth from your ancestors, I think Sunday service, I'm going to talk about ignorantly cursed. Because many people do not understand, realize, or recognize that the life they are living today is not even really theirs. You don't realize that so much of who you are and what you do and things that happen in your life are reoccurrences from your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother in your distant past. And you don't even realize that your life can actually be free. And you're not living out or playing out your ancestors' life. And so curses at birth, meaning family, generational and ancestral, or failing to trust God. Back to the tithe. When you fail to trust God with your money, the spirit of fear steps in. And then it brings other spirits in with it. Failing to trust God is saying to God, you're not able. But it's also saying to the kingdom of darkness, I don't believe God. Because think about it. Everything in scripture, God is God breathed, God said, is reliable. But when we fail to trust God, we're telling God you're not able, and we're telling the devil you are able. And the picture in time can turn pretty ugly. And that's why you don't question God and you don't read God's word and then not obey, because there's no gray lines in life. It's either black or white. And the moment you're not in white, you're in black. So failing to trust God, especially when you know you can and should trust Him, but you choose not to. How to be delivered from the spirit of fear? Number one, after all I've shared with you tonight, recognize its operation in your life. Now, if sincerely you don't think fear is any factor in your life, then so be it. You know, I'm not here judging or condemning. That's not my job. You live your life and you know. If you know you have absolutely no trouble with fear, then that's a really great thing. Praise God. But if after you have heard all this tonight concerning the spirit of fear, you recognize its operation in one way or the other in your life, then the second step is to renounce. When I say renounce, I mean coming back from family and generation. Renounce it. And personally renounce it in your life by your own choices and decisions. And then thirdly, command it to leave. Sometimes it takes more than an altar encounter for it to leave. Sometimes if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to recognize when the spirit of fear is in operation in a given situation or circumstance, the Holy Spirit will highlight it to you. And it might take months of you renouncing and commanding it to leave. But it can also happen instantly at the altar. And the good thing is that sooner than later, you will recognize certain things changed in your daily life. Why? Because the spirit of fear is no longer in operation. Isaiah 41 And verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Easier said than done, right? I show you Peter and the disciples in the example. Jesus was physically with them, and they had trouble with fear. You and I don't have the physical Jesus with us, but in a sense, we're better off than Peter and the disciples because he's living inside of us. And so scripture says, fear not. Do you know that from cover to cover in the Bible talks about fear 365 days a year. 365 times, cover to cover. You know what that means? For every day there is fear, God gave us a scripture. Genesis to Revelation, 365 times fear is mentioned in the Bible. You think that's coincidence? That's not coincidence. That's God telling us, every day you live, you have my promise that I will be with you. Fear not. When we fear, we do some serious mistakes in life. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from how many fears? All. Todo. So we don't have to live with one. Amazing, isn't it? I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those of you listening, watching online, and those of you in front of me, let's take a moment to pray. I'll ask you to close your eyes and repeat after me, even though I've given you the prayer on your outline. Reason is, I want it to be more meaningful and from your heart. You don't have to be focusing with your vision. Close your eyes, and from your heart, we're going to pray this prayer two times. Just so that if it didn't catch the first time, it's going to catch the second time. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray with me from your heart. Heavenly Father, I repent for failing to trust you, and instead giving in to the spirit of fear. I ask your forgiveness now in the name of Jesus. I know you will never leave me or forsake me. You are with me in every situation and every circumstance of life. You have given me the spirit of power, love, self-control, and a sound mind to trust you. I now choose to trust you every day, even when I don't understand. Tormenting spirit of fear, I divorce you and renounce you from my life. You're not welcome anymore. In the name of Jesus, I command you and all your cohorts to leave my mind, leave my body, and life now through the same door you used to enter me. I now close that door and seal it with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I now declare you have no more power over me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and my mind is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, now I humbly ask you to fill me to overflow in every area of my life where the spirits of fear and his cohorts occupied. I thank you and praise you in the glorious name of Jesus.